The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. To the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. This is a show. I'm playing the role of Eric Metaxas. And fortunately for you, I have a real guest playing himself. Remember Dr. Ben Carson from a presidential administration? He was a neurosurgeon, brain surgeon, and he's my guest. He's my friend. I'm thrilled to have you. Dr. Carson, Ben Carson, Secretary Carson, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm always delighted to be with you.
You amaze me on many levels. Let me start there, that you're the person that my wife often compares me to. And I want you to know,
uh-oh,
I hate you for that. How I hate you. Because you're so calm. You're calm enough to do, 24 hours straight operating on people's brains, and I'm not that calm. You're like a lion and I'm like a mongoose or something like that. So the other day we both spoke at the Corn Palace at the Frank speech thing, and I had to follow you, and I thought, it's never good following Ben Carson because you're so calm. You're like the Perry Como of brain surgeons. There's nobody calmer than you. You're calm, but if you're going to operate on brains, I think it's important to be calm. So I'm just working out my.
But I wasn't always calm.
That's the issue, and that's my wife and I talk about it because we read your book. Why don't you listen? A lot of people know you as this famous Christian, famous brain surgeon, and then now former secretary to the president of the United States. But some people don't know the early part of your life. It is an amazing story. We don't really have too much time, but I do want you to – let's get into that for a minute, because how you found faith and became the man you are today, it's – let's put it this way. It's a miracle. So let's – why don't you say a little bit about that?
I was an individual who would get extraordinarily angry as a youngster. And when I was angry, I was just out to harm people, and I really didn't care what the consequences were. So – one time somebody hit me with a pebble. It really didn't hurt, but I was so angry. I picked up a large rock, hurled it at his face, broke his glasses, almost put his eye out. He had to go to the hospital. Somebody was trying to close my locker at school. I didn't want it closed. I hit him in the forehead with my fist. Unfortunately, the lock was still in my hand, put a 3-inch gash in his forehead. Tried to hit my mother in the head with a hammer because I didn't want to wear something. My brother caught it from behind.
Now, that one I have not heard, because I had the privilege of meeting your mother. I didn't realize that it rose to that level, actually. Wow.
I would just be kind of insane when I got angry. And it culminated one day when I tried to stab another youngster who did something innocent, like changing a channel that I was listening to. And I had a large camping knife, and I tried to stab him in the abdomen. And fortunately, he had on a large metal belt buckle under his clothing. A knife blade struck with such force that it broke. And
actually, you were about 14?
I was 14.
I remember that story because I don't remember what you just said about the knife breaking. In other words, as an indication of the force with which you were lunging with this knife. And by the grace of God,
absolutely,
he didn't get stabbed.
And that's all it is, the grace of God, which I realized that a couple hours later. I was in the bathroom by myself just contemplating what I had just done. And I said, if he hadn't had that belt buckle on, my dream of becoming a physician, because that's a whole nother story. I was a terrible student. And then my mother made us read books, and it completely changed my orientation. I stopped listening to all the people who were saying the system is stacked against you. started reading about scientists and entrepreneurs and explorers, and I began to realize the person who had the most to do with what happened to you is you, not somebody else. But at that moment in that bathroom, I realized that all of that was for naught, because with a temper like that, there was no way I was going to be a doctor. I was going to end up in jail, reform school, or the grave. And none of those appealed to me. And I just said, Lord, you got to help me. And there was a Bible, and I picked it up. There were all these verses about anger and about fools, and it seemed like they were all written about me. And I came to an understanding during that time that the reason I would be so angry all the time is because I was selfish. It was always about me, me, my, and I. Someone was in my space. They took my thing. And I said, if you can just step outside the center of the circle and look at things from other people's point of view, it would make a big difference. That was the last day that I had an angry outburst.
Well, it's hard for those of us who know you now, and I've known you for some years, to even imagine you being that kind of a person. So it does seem miraculous that you changed so dramatically. You just said that you were hearing those voices. I'm assuming this is in the 60s, telling you that, you know, you were a victim of a system of oppression, systemic oppression. So you were hearing that, and it was affecting you.
I think it was. I mean, if you heard all the time that you can't succeed, that, you know, it's a racist society, this things are stacked against you. That's what society was saying. But my mother was saying something very different. She was saying, yes, there are obstacles, but you don't have to let them overcome you. That was her constant message. You're the captain of your ship, yourself to blame. It was a poem that she always recited to us. And it doesn't really matter what else is going on. You're the captain of your ship. You decide which way it goes. And those obstacles can become your excuse for failure, or they can strengthen you to take the next hurdle.
Well, it's kind of amazing that after you had this outburst and you try to stab somebody, clearly you could have killed him, clearly. You have this moment, and what's interesting to me is that you sort of come to yourself, you're alone, and that you do turn to the Bible. I mean, that's interesting that you, at that age, with that kind of a temperament, you would have done that. Did your mother, were you a Christian at that time, or how, where would you put yourself?
Yeah, I was a baptized Christian at that time. I just continued to give in to the anger. And, you know, that was the moment that really changed me for the first time. And that was, I think, my true conversion at that point. Doesn't mean that I'm perfect now. Believe me, I understand that. And I know that I need a savior, but it made a big difference in my life.
How old was your mother when she was married?
13. And, you know, she came from a very large rural family, and she was trying to escape desperate poverty. So she married my father, who was 28, and she was 13. And they moved to Detroit, and he was a factory worker. And, you know, my mother, even though she had less than a third grade education, she's a very wise person. And, you know, she took any extra money that we had, she saved it and invested it in property. And at one point, they had quite a lot of property in Detroit. And then, unfortunately, my father, you know, got into drugs and stuff, and he just wasted all the money. I think if he'd been smart enough to listen to my mother, they would have been extremely well
off. I feel so privileged that I met your mother. She actually signed my copy of your book when I first met you. Your mother's is a hero, and any book written about you, including the one you wrote, her story lays the foundation. I think of Susanna Wesley raising the Wesleys. It's kind of astonishing what a mother can do and create in the world. I'm glad we started there, because there's so much else to talk about. We're going to go to a break, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about what you've been doing and the American Cornerstone Institute. Things have gotten weird in America, and we need to learn some of the basics. I know that's what the American Cornerstone Institute is about. Before we go to the break, what is the website for the American Cornerstone Institute?
It's AmericanCornerstone.org.
That's it. AmericanCornerstone.org. Folks, when we come back, I'm talking to Dr. Ben Carson. Don't go away. Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out. Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out. Hey there, gang. I'm talking to Dr. Ben Carson, Secretary Ben Carson, Ben, Dr. Car, I don't know. Ben Carson, I love talking to you.
Ben is good.
Ben
is
good.
You know what I always say? Jesus created the universe, and he doesn't mind if we call him Jesus.
That's amazing. That's true. But I think he's trying to make a particular theological point. I want to talk to you about, first of all, how you got involved in a presidential administration and what you did there. And then I want to talk about where we are now. But I think a lot of people can blame you or thank you for humanizing Donald Trump back when a lot of people didn't know what to make of him or only thought of him as brash or something like that. You very kindly, in your typically gentle, kind way, reached out to him and put your support behind him. So let me just ask you, what did you see in him that a lot of people still don't see?
I saw a man who deeply loved America. You know, I had seen his interview with Oprah Winfrey about 25 years prior to that. And she asked him if he would ever run for president. And he said, no, I would not ever do that unless I thought the country was going off the cliff and there was a need to save it. And as I got to know him during the campaign, I realized that he was sincere about that. He had a good life. And he really didn't need to do this. That wouldn't enhance his reputation. It would destroy his reputation. It wouldn't make him wealthier. It would make him poor. So there was really no good reason except that he truly loved our country and thought it was going off the cliff. I felt the same way. And philosophically, we were very much in the same boat. Very different personalities, however.
You think? I guess... I'm just curious, what was your experience becoming a secretary of HUD, right?
Yes.
I never think about HUD, Housing and Urban Development. What did you think needed to be done? And do you feel you were able to get it done or get something done? Because I think one thing we all learned in the last 4 years is about the existence of the bureaucratic state and how horrific it is that this lean, mean country has grown into this bloated, socialistic, bureaucratic state that is so far removed from the people that the best thing you could ever do is drain the swamp, so to speak, to coin a phrase, and reduce the size of government. So was that your experience, that it was difficult to deal with that?
Well, the reason that I wanted to do the job in the first place is because HUD is sort of like the philanthropic arm of the federal government and has to do a lot with the poor in this country. And Jesus talks so much about the poor and how we should care for them. I felt that that was a real possibility. When I got there, you know, I was quite shocked by the disarray. There had been no functional CFO in 8 years. The financial systems were just bizarre.
How can that be under that for the 8 years of the Obama-Biden administration, there was no functional CFO for all of HUD?
All that money, with billions of dollars flowing through there, there was no substantial oversight. There had not been a real audit in over 8 years. They couldn't do an audit because there were so many substantial defects that you couldn't audit it. And so the first thing we did was to try to get a very good CFO. We managed to get Irv Dennis, a 37-year veteran of Ernst & Young, who was going to retire and enjoy life. It took a lot of arm twisting, but he did come and really did a major reorganization. And last year was actually the first year HUD has been able to have a clean audit in over 8 years. And you need to have that in place in order to be able to do your other programs. We were very interested in self-sufficiency. And, of course, HUD was the agency that pushed the opportunity zones and coordinated it with all the other agencies. And as the CEA report, Council of Economic Advisors report last August showed, an enormous benefit, 500,000 new jobs. We were anticipating attracting $100 billion over 10 years. We attracted $75 billion in the first 2 years before COVID struck. The wealth of people who live in that area increased 11% people out of poverty. You know, those are the kinds of things that make a difference. And it's not targeted at any specific group. It's the rising tide that floats all boats. And recognizing that if you created a system that encouraged entrepreneurship and innovation, that the jobs would come. And that's why we had the lowest unemployment for African-American community, Hispanic community, other communities ever. Not in 10 years, not in 20 years, but ever. Wealth gap starting to close. All of these things happen. And, you know, there were a whole host of programs that we were able to initiate aimed toward creating self-sufficiency. I hope that those will survive the current administration.
Now, you say the current administration. I'm not going to get into what I think of the current quote-unquote administration, but I will say this. They seem to be doing their level worst to take America into the dark ages. I mean, it's sort of like what de Blasio has done during his reign in New York at light speed. It's kind of like warp speed. Take us back to the 70s. I have never seen anything like it. An administration that it combines the most radical leftist ideology, which most Democrats would never vote for. Let's be honest. This is mania with unbelievable incompetence. It's sort of like what you just said about HUD under Obama. You know, you think, how can these people, like the most basic business person, understands you got to fix that, got to do that. They don't seem to have the beginning of a clue on many, many things. And so we really experienced a kind of a renaissance, at least economically, under Trump. And do you think that you and Trump will get a second crack at it? What is your gut feeling for the country?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the problem is when you have a government that's driven by ideology as opposed to by facts, then you get a lot of aberrant conditions. And that's what we're experiencing right now. Yes, I do believe that there will be another chance for conservatives and for people who love the country and think logically, as opposed to people who really want to fundamentally change us into something else. Does our country and does our history have problems? Are there some warts? Absolutely. No sensible person would deny that. But by the same token, this is a country that has provided enormous opportunities for everybody. Higher standards of living. It is why people still are trying to get in here, even illegally. If it was a bastion of racism and hatred, would people be forming caravans trying to get in here? Come on, that makes no sense at all.
So you're saying that you think that a systemically racist country, let me just ask you a question. Do you think that this racist country would ever, for example, elect a black man to the White House?
Well, of course not. You know, it makes no sense on its face.
It'll never happen. Ben, let's be realistic. Never happen in a racist country. Tell us about the American Cornerstone Institute. I'm very excited about this. I don't understand how these things work. Is it a think tank? Is it a what is it called?
Well, as Glenn Beck dubbed it, it's a think tank / do tank. we like to get things done.
Okay.
But basically, a group of us from HUD who feel very strongly that we have to continue the forward momentum of our nation, recognize that if we just retire and relax, that things were not going to turn out well. So we formed this organization to elevate the cornerstone principles that made America into a great nation. And we're talking about our faith. We're talking about community.
But the question is, how do you
life.
Do something about
We're
it? In other words,
about liberty.
I know you believe these things, and we have talked on this program about this before, but I'm trying to remember, how is it possible for folks like us who believe in these things to do something about them? In other words, what can the Cornerstone Institute, American Cornerstone Institute, do? How can it affect policy?
Sure.
How does that work?
Well, if you go to our website, you'll see on there several conversations with prominent individuals on a lot of topics that affect us as Americans. But we also have programs like the More Perfect Union, where we get people involved in not only the Constitution, but the Declaration of Independence and all of our founding documents to teach them. And we're launching this summer, we've already started the process, Little Patriots, to teach our children at home school, at charter schools, at private schools, and in public schools, the real history of our country.
We're going to go to a break, but I am very excited about this. When we come back, I want to continue talking about that, and I want to talk about the cancel culture. Folks, don't go away. I feel a shiver. Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their health care, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true health care, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110. Hey there, friends. Eric Metaxas here. Joe Biden and the Democrats have laid out the most socialist agenda our country has ever seen. Instead of following President Trump's blueprint that had the economy booming, the Dems are going to raise taxes, increase regulations, and skyrocket an already outrageous national debt. If your retirement is in traditional investments, it is in jeopardy. Americans should be diversifying their investments with gold and precious metals. Gold gives you control over your wealth and protects you from market volatility, inflation, and a weakening dollar. When investing in gold, I turn to Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals has over 40 years of experience in helping Americans protect their finances, and this team is prepared to patiently consider your own personal financial needs. If you're looking to invest in gold, call the good folks at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-473-6204 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Don't leave your retirement to chance, friends. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. That's 866-473-6204. Hey folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Dr. Ben Carson, Secretary Ben Carson. In any case, here he is. Dr. Carson, I've got to ask you the cancel culture. We have, and I feel like it's part of God's calling on my life to say as publicly and loudly as I can to most Americans, you're not crazy when you think that the world has gone crazy. Everybody needs to be encouraged. Like, yes, there is lunacy in them thar hills. It's just pure madness. Most Americans know, but they're too busy to deal with it or to talk about it. And I just want to be one of those voices that says, folks, we all know that it's gone crazy. Don't worry. Most of us know, and we're doing what we can behind the scenes. What do you make of it, Dr. Carson? Because it is really nothing less than madness.
It's antithetical to some of the founding principles of our country. You know, when I go back to the cornerstone principles of liberty, that means that people came to this country because they wanted to be free. They wanted to be free to express themselves verbally and in every other way, without government interfering with everything that they were doing. Now, some people say we still have freedom of speech here, but do you really? Just because the government isn't imposing a restriction, if the government is in compliance with big tech and the media, it is absolutely the same effect.
Okay, hang on. I've got to interrupt you because you just made a very important point. Very, very important point. If the government is conspiring, agreeing with those who are silencing us, then in fact, the government is using its power, which is given to it by we the people, to work against the people. So how do you make the case that the government is doing that? In other words, if they say, oh, it's not us, it's private companies, how do you make the case that the government and the current fake administration is in fact somehow using its power wrongly?
Well, the government has the responsibility of guaranteeing for its people life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They are not allowing us to live in freedom. So they're reneging on their responsibility to promote liberty when they allow any other entity to destroy any of those principles. And that needs to be made clear to all the people, and that's one of the things we're doing. Also, remember, with cancel culture, it is antithetical to our principles of faith. Our Judeo-Christian values tell us to love your neighbor, not to cancel your neighbor if you disagree with them. Completely antithetical to both liberty and to faith, which are two guiding principles. The principle of community, which is that of working together. You know, I just had an hour-long conversation that will be televised with Benjamin Crump. Obviously, we come from two extraordinarily different vantage points, but we want the same things. And by being respectful, listening to each other, and talking about what are the facts, it is possible to make progress. That's what community is all about. In America, we have much more that we agree about than what we disagree about. But we allow the media and others to take those things we disagree about, put them on the forefront, and make that seem like the most important issue. and actually deceive the American people into thinking that we are each other's enemies. We are not each other's enemies. But if we continue to believe that, we will destroy our nation. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Jesus said it. Abraham Lincoln said it. It's absolutely true. And the last cornerstone principle, life. If we, as we've gotten further away from respect of life, from the womb to the tomb, we've become less respectful of each other. And that has coarsened our behavior, our dialogue, and it is going to obviously wreak havoc if we don't get a handle on it and stop allowing people to manipulate us.
What do you make of the fact that our government, including the Republicans who had power for some time until recently, did not do more to stand against big tech? I think there are a lot of people that they're effectively pinheads because all they focus on is the free market, quote unquote, as if there is such a thing, divorced from virtue and context. And they just thought, well, let it ride. We can't do anything about private companies, which is preposterous because we can do trust busting. It's been done. It needs doing. And then there are other things. I mean, if a company, for example, is involved with China, who is our enemy, who is working against human rights and civil rights with all the power that they have, the idea that we cannot take a stand against them or require our own companies or companies that are making billions from the American market to have certain benchmarks when they're dealing with countries like that, I mean— why do you think the Republicans didn't do more? I guess this is my way of saying that I think that a lot of people are very disgusted with the Republican Party because many in the Republican Party did not put America first.
Yeah, well, I think they falsely assumed that they had more time than they did. Given the fact that the economy was doing so incredibly well and that so many other parameters were functioning in a very good way, they just assumed that they would have more time. And that was a false assumption. They will eventually have power again. I pretty much feel that's a guarantee because people are waking up pretty quickly.
Right, right. Forgive me, Dr. Carson, we're going to go to a break. I want to, when we come back, I'll let you complete that sentence. Folks, okay. I'm talking to Ben Carson.
They sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Hey there, folks. Welcome back. And welcome to the segment where I let Dr. Ben Carson complete his previous thought. Dr. Carson,
well, I was saying, you know, what we really need to recognize is that this is not really about Democrats and Republicans. This is about people who love what America stands for and people who think that we need to fundamentally change it into something else. And I know amongst the Republicans, there's a lot of dissension and griping and never Trumpers and all kinds of different factions. What they need to understand is what they are fighting for is much greater than the little pet peeves that they may have. We are talking about the future for our children and our grandchildren. Will they be free or will they not be free? And the fact of the matter is, if you can't unite those people who love America, then America will no longer exist. It will turn into something else. And you, your grandchildren, will be the ones who will suffer as a result of that. So you got to be able to look at the big picture and not just your little pet peeve, because whatever that little pet peeve is, that's going to be gone, too.
Well, the problem, of course, is that as bad as many Republicans are not standing against the wokeness and the madness, which is ultimately cultural Marxism, let's call it what it is, I think we also have to say that the Democratic Party of today has been entirely hijacked by leftists. In other words, the party of a Bill Clinton or Jimmy Carter or JFK, that party is long gone. It's been taken over by people who are in bed with Marxists. I mean, the idea that U.S. embassies would be flying the BLM flag is, it might as well fly the swastika. That is a Marxist organization that not only doesn't help black people, but harms black people. That's where we are with the current administration, in quotes.
And I hope that people can actually sit back and understand that. But I do have another fear, and that is when the right people get back in, right-leaning, that is, that they will want to exact revenge. And that they will say, you know, let's make sure that these people never arise again. And that would be wrong, too. You know, at some point, adults in the room have got to stand up and exert themselves. We can't continue this. You know, I hate this because you came up with this ideal. Whatever it is, we're going to destroy it because you came up with
but
the idea.
But you've never
that
seen that happen
so
except with Donald Trump. No matter if he said, I think calculus is good, you know, I think a lot of young people would want to pay him just to say that so that calculus would be wiped off of, you know, their course list. I mean, anything he said, he referred to ultraviolet light, he referred to you know, any number of things,
hydroxychloroquine.
All he would do is mention it. But the level of madness, I mean, people talked about Bush derangement syndrome. Honestly, I have never seen anything to equal it. It seems to me almost to be a spiritual issue. I've simply never seen people abandon reason and even abandon self-interest. They just seem to be driven by fury.
But remember that the other side, many of them feel exactly the same way. And we have got to get to a point where we can sit down and put the facts on the table. It's one of the things that we do at American Cornerstone, have these roundtables in different parts of the country. Put the facts in the middle of the table, invite people from all perspectives, and let's solve the problems based on the facts, not on ideology. Unless we get to that point, all we do is argue back and forth and throw hand grenades at each other.
Are you familiar with the work of Dr. Bob Woodson and 1776
Very
Unites?
Much so.
He's a hero. I hope maybe you'll work with him because I'm amazed that, you know, you talk about the adults in the room. He's another adult in the room. And, you know, the idea that he has to work so hard and you have to work so hard to get your message out there. When I do agree with you, most Americans, I would think, would agree with your message. Now, listen, since you're also a medical doctor, I have to ask you, were you surprised that even death and illness was politicized in the way that it was during this pandemic that we are now through to some extent?
I was a little surprised at the extent to which it happened and how rapidly it happened. There's no question about that. And, you know, the fact that there are things that are helpful, like hydroxychloroquine, that's demonstrated in other parts of the world quite effectively, like Western Africa, where their percentage of people coming down with COVID-19 is 94% lower than ours. Why do you think in China they use hydroxychloroquine, where the thing came from? You know, there's, you know, we hurt ourselves when we throw politics into medicine. And that's why the messages have been so incredibly confusing. And I've been a little disappointed with some of the people that I've known for a very long time in the medical field who are aligned with the government and who perhaps have not demonstrated the level of integrity that I would expect to see.
Well, you, as typical, you're gracious. I would even think over gracious, because what they have done is at least despicable, if not criminal and murderous, because lives were at stake, the lives of people who trusted them. I had Naomi Wolf on my program simply because I had her on my program, and she's very liberal feminist. She was in my class at Yale. YouTube banned us completely for even allowing her point of view. So we're living in difficult times. You're just one of the beacons of light in the midst of these times. I'm just grateful to you, Dr. Carson, for everything that you're doing. We've just got about 30 seconds. What can we do, those of us who are listening, to help you do what you do?
Well, first of all, thank you for being a voice of courage. We need courage. You cannot be the land of the free if you're not the home of the brave. But everybody has a sphere of influence. Please be willing to stand up in that sphere of influence. Don't just hang your head in the corner and hope no one calls you a racist or some other name. Because if we don't stand up for what we believe, we will lose what we believe in this nation.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Eric. Always good to be with you.
Alvin, guess what? It's time for the homework assignment. Every day on this program, we're going to be giving out a homework assignment. I've been doing
homework.
It casually, but folks, it's going to be part of your grade. Mm. And I think it is incumbent on me to say clearly what the assignment is, since this goes into your final grade in the class. Okay, so today's homework assignment.
Yes.
First thing... this, by the way, this is for the month, salemnow.com. Mm-hmm. If you go to salemnow.com, there's a lot of stuff you can watch with your whole family. So visit salemnow.com. But specifically, there's a film out. It's called The Streets Were My Father. It's the journey of three inner-city Chicago men, a story of fatherlessness, gang life, prison life, and then the power of God to change lives, transform lives dramatically. It is hugely inspiring, but it also underscores the practically the most important issue there is. It's called fatherlessness. If you don't want crime in America, deal with fatherlessness, because it's huge. So go to salemnow.com. It's called The Streets Were My Father. Okay, that's assignment number one. Assignment number two. Tell your friends, please, about MyPillow.com and MyStore.com. And using the code Eric. A lot of people, maybe they're watching Fox News or something else, and it gives you a code. And I'm thinking, do you really want to give that portion of the profit to Fox or to whomever?
Right.
Or do you want to give it to this show, which has been banished from YouTube and is being sued by, I can't even go into that publicly. So we do need your help.
Yeah.
Every time you use the code Eric at MyPillow.com or MyStore.com. Most of my books are at MyStore.com, and we'll have way more coming up soon. You're helping us defray those costs on this program, and we do need your help. So if you tell your friends to use the code Eric, we're grateful. And as part of that, Nutramedics is a new big sponsor on the program.
Right.
We've had Tim Eaton on now twice. Watch those videos. We posted them on Rumble, and if you get our email newsletters, you've seen them. They are heroes, honestly, because they're producing a spectacular product, and I'm learning a lot about different herbs and spices, or whatever they call them.
Supplements.
Oh, yeah, supplements. Yep. But not only that, they give 50% of their royalties to missions.
Right.
And you can listen to the thing.
That's amazing, yeah.
But if you use the code Eric there, you get 20% off. And most of us use all these things, whether it's, you know, magnesium or zinc or vitamin C or vitamin D, whatever, all the basics, stevia, melatonin, and on and on and on and on. They have more exotic stuff. But I just want to say that every time you use the code Eric, you save 20%, and it helps defray costs on this program. And we need your help. So that's a homework assignment. And then finally. Okay. CSI.
Yes.
We are freeing slaves in the Sudan. Folks, am I making this up? No. People, and this is like the wake-up call. For us in the West, we complain about, you know, getting banned from YouTube. There are people enslaved for their faith in Sudan. And I just want to say that we can do something about it. We did something about it. It was a year ago or 8 months ago. We did a huge number of – was it Chris? That's right.
Yeah.
And we freed – like thousands of slaves. And this is an amazing thing. I can't even believe I'm saying this.
Yeah.
But that's what CSI does. You can participate. Whatever you give goes to this. But anybody who gives $250 that frees a slave, and they don't buy them out of slavery. It's more complicated. I won't go into it now. But it frees a slave and then sets them up in a new life. Now, again, it's incomprehensible to us. We're talking about people enslaved. Yeah. So CSI, their boots on the ground, they're helping.
Yes.
It's kind of astonishing to me that they do this. So
The banner is right at the top of the
Metaxastalk.com. 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 Have I mentioned our radio website is Metaxastalk.com?
There you go. You can call 888-253-3522.
Say it again.
888-253-3522. Please give generously. This is an incredible. People talk about slavery 150 years ago. This is happening today.
I mean,
and you can free a slave.
And the fact
today.
Is, because of CSI, you can do something yes. about it. God bless you. Thank you.